On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
It's the Tall Can Sports Podcast. How's it going, man?
Buenas noches.
Nachos. Yes. How we doing?
Nachos.
Buenas nachos?
Buenos. Buenas nachos.
Sounds great, man.
Bueno.
Muy. Contios.
Oh, see, you've gone in a whole different direction there.
It's true, I do that, though.
Yeah, I think you were looking for... Conqueso.
Looking for love in all the wrong places.
Which, you know what? As I heard this morning, if it doesn't contain a little bit of shame, you're not doing it right.
Shame. Shame.
You're not doing it right.
Oh, I feel bad about what happened, but all right. Well, okay, sorry about that.
And I'm over it.
That means I pushed the boundaries a little bit. Yeah. Stretching things. You know.
You wish.
Showing the line.
Stretching things. I don't know what you've been busting over there, but let's talk about Buster Olney and his predictions for the AL East. I haven't seen them. You said you had checked this. Well, he had revamped them recently.
Well, see, and he came across. And so for those of you who do or don't, right, Sunday Night Baseball has a blog, ESPN.
Yep. Buster Olney's one of those high-end kind of reporter guys. You're Ken Rosenthal's, you're Bob McKenzie's of baseball kind of thing.
He came out originally and said Red Sox win the division, Jays are the wild card, Yankees finishing third.
It doesn't sound too far off what we had predicted as well. And apparently there's bad news to come.
No, just a couple of days ago he said, yeah, you know what? He goes, I've been looking at it and watching things go. He goes, I now predict the Blue Jays to win the division, Yankees to get the wild card.
Wow.
Red Sox, third in the division. And he's saying, for him, it comes down to all about the pitching. And he's saying he doesn't have any faith in the depth of the Red Sox pitching over the Jays pitching, right? The depth of the starting rotation.
But how do you not have faith in it over the Yankees pitching?
Well, I think they're just looking at...
Right, that's not a great staff that Yankees have.
And you know what? And he never really mentioned... either way, anything to do with the Yankees. I think they're looking at the amount of young bats and all that they have going on there.
That's really interesting, though.
He's saying that, you know, the Red Sox right now are saying they have faith in Price, but they don't know when he's going to pitch again, right? They haven't.
That seems like an important detail.
Well, this is it, right? And then his name escapes me.
Well, Porcello is the guy that I said I don't see them having. Not having another year like last year.
Right, no.
Chris Sale, they've brought in. He's going to be good.
It's the other guy who just went down that I'm trying to think of, and it's not either one of those.
Okay.
So anyways, that was it just noteworthy, right, as the WBC comes down to its finals. Spring training is getting closer and closer. It was noteworthy to go.
Now we're less than 2 weeks out from opening day.
Right. Hey, and for those of you, just off the top of your heads, Blue Jays home opener against that old
someone shit
AL East. Nope.
No, is it Tampa?
No, that's what everyone goes. Yeah. Hey, what crappy team do you think Toronto's opening up against? Is it the Rays?
I think it's Baltimore actually that's coming in.
Milwaukee Brewers, ugh, ladies and gentlemen, interconference play.
Seriously?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that is shit. How do I not know that until now, first of all?
But absolutely.
That's fucking terrible.
That's how that goes. Hey, Robin Yount coming into town? No.
Man, I am.
That's garbage.
So tired of. I'm over interleague play.
For sure. And to me, that was
kind of novel at one point. And,
man, how about back in the day when you just had the AL East, AL West? Two teams,
yep,
rock and roll right into a little bit of action.
Yeah.
Zip, then World Series, here we go. And you know what? I know.
Well, the Jays would have missed this year, or in 2016.
Yep. All right. But you know what?
I don't know.
Only the best. Don't give me your bullshit.
2015, they won the division, but I'm trying to think of the Central and the West and how all that would. Anyway.
Okay, but no, they had to play in this year. They had to play Baltimore to get in, right?
Yeah. But so, I'm just 2015, when they won the division, whether it would have been.
Oh, where they were in terms of
who was better in the Central and whether they would have been in the East with you, and I can't remember now, right? But well, it was
well, the Central was
Texas would have been in the in the West.
Central's in the West. Texas in the West.
Yeah,
it would have been Kansas City.
Yeah,
Super the
yeah,
Series,
it would have been
World Series winning Kansas City
so,
Royals.
Coin toss. Whether as they I've just been in said, the
yeah, they're bullshit. Those guys. Yeah, okay, they actually won, right?
Yep.
Interesting and interleague and
fucking, but you can't have it that we've seen
early?
This last year too into September and teams are fighting for their playoff lives and somebody's crossing over to face the Diamondbacks or some shit. Right.
And to me, you know, I know you wanted to go in a different direction of the show, but you know what? We'll do a little free form here. We'll let it roll. You know, you talk about, we had to add in the third division. We had to go with the wild cards. Simply because you want more money, right? You need to keep more teams in the race, further down, more fan bases.
Good for attendance.
All it's, those things, yeah, yep, right? So everybody's keyed up. More teams are still rolling.
Have they considered loser points in baseball if you got the extra innings? Yeah, apparently, it's a cure-all.
As soon as Gary Bettman rolls over there, because he's about worn his welcome out here. No, never. Then that'll happen, right? But as long as you can continue to milk as much as you can for as long as you can, you're good to go. And for me, the direct segue in this is over to NBA Commissioner
David Silver.
David Silver, you know, issuing his most recent warning
decree about, from on high.
Yeah, about resting players, and honestly, not just resting players. You're resting
superstars
and all of them, whatever you got. Sitting them for entire games, right? And I'm talking about this is the correlation of money and why we're not going to see this, right? And bear with me, right? Because the real line that runs through all of it is that money. You go, okay, you know what? If you need to rest your superstars because the season is so arduous,
yep,
cut back the number of games. Oh, we can't do that.
Do you think, though, that would even matter? Let's say they dropped it down to a 70-game season. At 65 games, if you're clinched, would you still not go? Yeah, I don't need to risk my guy getting hurt or.
Well, see this, and you know what? You got Golden State playing San Antonio a couple weeks ago in their primetime game.
Yeah.
And Golden State sits everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
So now your TV.
Hey, you have the two best teams for sure in the Western Conference, potentially in the NBA. Right? And you're just saying, Golden State's saying, okay, well, guess what, San Antonio? We're not going to show you our good shit. Yep. We're just going to give you that game.
It's all yours.
And then just recently, the Clippers, so the Indians, help me out, Cleveland
Cavaliers
roll into L.A. to play the Clippers.
Okay. Yeah.
No Kyrie Irving, no Kevin Love, no LeBron James. And you're like.
Anyone who just bought tickets to that is pissed.
Right. That's your one chance
that
the Clippers are going to roll through town.
Yep.
Oh, we're just going to sit everybody. And you know what? And again, they're saying, whoa, it's a long season. Don't give me that shit.
Well, so let me throw it back at you.
Please, if you can find, if you have a good counter argument to this, and keep in mind,
for one thing, as a coach, because you coach sport, and we both just finished a tournament in January where we jigged our lineups to suit our needs and fuck the competition. That's not fans. That's a totally different business. But as a coach,
there are no paying fans.
Coach to coach, you're going to, as an NBA coach, a league is going to come to you and go, yeah, you can't do that. And you go, yeah, fuck you. I'm doing what's best for my team. This is a competitive environment. This is until they come down with some sort of hard and fast rule that says what, really? At no point can you have more than two regulars out at a time? Oh, maybe LeBron's got a sore ankle today.
Give me that. Give me something. Don't just say we're sitting them. Because you know what? This is coming on the heels of, I have freshly just come back from a weekend where I followed my team to another city.
Yep.
Paid train tickets, hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking expensive tickets. To see my team shit the bed in a different city, right? And it's one thing, right? And it's that old adage. You can watch a game at home and go, man, that sucked.
Yeah.
The team blew tonight.
But the amount of money that trip cost, it's not just annoying anymore. It's infuriating.
It's infuriating.
Yeah.
And so all I'm saying is, once you plunk down cash, you're telling your fans,
yep.
Oh, you know what? Sorry about that. Hey, cut back the games. Oh, no, we need them all. And every game in the regular season is important, fans. You need to show up and support, and you need to be invested in everything. We're not going to be, but you need to be. You need to show up and see Carolina on a Tuesday in February. It's important. I don't give a shit. I'm going to go up and down the wing and get on the bench because I don't give a damn, right? And to me, it's infuriating to hear LeBron James say, yeah, I need to rest.
Do you think there's a difference?
Hey, man, you're making $25 million. Don't give me that shit. There's no
tag
days for you, buddy.
Two more examples at you here in pro sport. You spend your money to go down and see the Blue Jays on a Sunday afternoon. It's a 4-hour trip from here. That's gas or train ticket. It's probably a hotel.
Yep.
And an expensive ticket. It turns out your favorite player, Josh Donaldson, that's his scheduled day off.
Yeah, you know what? And that's interesting.
162 games now. It happens in baseball where he gets a day off. It's got nothing to do with injuries. It's very rarely announced ahead of time, right?
Right. But it seems to me, now we can just use that. If you show up, to me, that's a game that is impacted. There's many more moving parts in baseball.
And that's where my next point was going to go as well, with basketball being so individually driven, right? Like LeBron moves and it turns around an entire franchise.
Right.
You're at game 82. And the Sens are locked in, can't move. They're playing this team in their whatever position, and Carlson plays and gets crushed going into the playoffs on a legal hit, and he's out and done. Okay. Would you not have preferred, despite having thrown down your $80 to go see the game, that you had him going into the playoffs? Because it's basketball to me that makes this interesting. Hockey, it's a bigger roster, right? Baseball, it's a bigger roster.
And to me, in hockey, and you look at how it works right now, in the NBA, there's two teams sort of jockeying for those bottom eight spots or whatever it is, right? There's not a pile of stuff happening. The top four or five teams in each conference, home and cooled already.
Yeah.
Right? And so to me, in hockey, you can't do that. You don't show up and they go, oh, tonight, Marner, Nylander,
and Matthews. Yeah, you do, though. You do see it.
You do not see all three of those guys sitting on the...
But in the end, we've seen them sit down, Sidney Crosby, for the last game of the regular season.
And the reason you don't see that happen is because, unless you're the Washington Capitals, you see they have already clinched.
They're clinched, man.
Right. They and the Penguins, I think, have both clinched.
Yes. No, Penguins haven't. Columbus has.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Top two in the Metro.
Yeah.
But yet, to me, you can't do that in hockey like you can in those other sports where nobody cares. But I'm pissed, right? It's like NFL coaches saying, oh, we can't have that touchdown, and then you go to a commercial you play four commercials, and then you come back for the point after, and you go for four more commercials. And they go, we don't need that. We need to keep these games moving. I need my athletes on the field. And you're going, yeah, but if you didn't charge them $2.5 billion to carry your rights, they wouldn't have to jam commercials down your pie hole.
Yeah.
So don't give me that shit either, you douchebags. You can't have it both ways.
Okay, that's a slightly different argument.
Okay, no, but I'm just saying, in terms of all of it, them wanting to have...
I just think it's so much harder in basketball because it's so individually driven. And if you get to game 82 and let them tell you LeBron's got a sore ankle tonight because he's no one's going to believe him, and they're still going to be pissed. Whereas Carlson gets sat down.
I believe that LeBron comes down with a flu. That's fine. But what?
Every 82nd game?
Well, I was going to say, is he sucking face with Kyrie and Kevin Love? Like, why are all three of them missing at the same time?
I don't know, man. To me, it's just a tough – it's where sport meets business, right? And I think if Carlson gets hammered on that 82nd game of the season.
Yeah. You show up, and I don't care if it's a home game.
Yeah.
Right? Where you go to see 5 or 10 a year.
Yeah.
What do you don't feel differently? Do you feel the same? If you're showing up and you go, oh, I've showed up now. My three best players are out of the lineup because we're going to rest
them. This is the first year I've had three good players in a while, so it's hard for me to be but you know what? It depends. It really does. Because first of all, I'm not likely ever buying tickets to the 82nd game of the season because I know you're subject to funny business, right?
Right, you mean, so if Toronto rolls into the last game of the season here in Ottawa?
And life and death, maybe I'm trying to get tickets last minute, but I'm not buying that in advance because, well, frankly, I would have expected Toronto long since have been out of it. But
man, oh man.
It's okay. Tough, man. It's just, they're different sports, right? You could sit Carlson down and still win the game. But you have less likely to do it.
If you are expecting fans to be invested.
I get it.
All year long.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah, and poorly.
I don't think so.
You need to do it. You know what? I'm not saying don't rest LeBron. I'm not saying you can't. You can't just go out and say, yeah, we're taking the whole starting lineup out.
You can't go on the road and sit down your three stars all at the same time.
This is what I'm saying.
But until there is a rule that says,
All right.
You have to mandate two out of your three. Every team has to submit a list of their three best players, and you can never have two out more than once.
Okay, well,
at a time,
how easy would that be? The NFL does their marquee players, right, where they're off the salary cap. You already have those sorts of things. Go, yep, these three guys.
Yeah, anyone wearing the franchise tag or whatever
This is it. You cannot have, short of injury,
two of your three best you have submitted already out at the same time.
And line up at the same time.
Yeah, okay. Well, we can talk about that.
Well, that's all I'm saying is obviously you can't. There's going to be days where you're off, but...
And you're decimated with injuries.
And this is all I'm saying, but to me, you roll in, and honestly, the Golden State Warriors sat four guys. You know what I mean? And so Green, Iguodala, Curry, and
I think as
blank.
A fan, it sucks. But I think as a player, as a coach, as a sport, you. I'm trying to
two
win.
Two different things, yeah. Right? And I get what you're saying. You can't compare it to my sport because jack shit to see me coach anybody, right? Or paying to watch.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
My athletes are gaining. So to me, that's in tournament. We're just doing what we need to do.
Every coach looks at it that way? I got to do what's best for my squad.
And that's what
I
keep saying. Greg Popovich in San Antonio has been doing it for a decade.
Years.
And they've won five NBA championships in that time frame. So I'm not saying it's unprecedented.
No.
I'm just saying that shit needs to be looked at. If you are gate driven, now the NFL is not.
Right.
But they don't see that happen, right? You see Tom Brady take plays off. You'll see him leave in the middle of the third quarter because they're up and you don't want to damage him, right? Mm-hmm. Those sorts of things happen, right? But you don't roll in and go, oh, okay, guess what?
Gronk and Brady and whatever are all
sitting
today.
This is it. They're all sitting today.
Yeah.
You do see them start now.
Unless you've ever attended an NFL preseason game.
Yeah, okay, but
I know.
It's like us going to see exhibition hockey.
Yeah.
You go to see those first three or four, you go, who's that guy? You know?
Yeah.
Anyways, it's a bunch of bullshit. That's all. And I'd hate to tell you that I don't feel strongly about it.
Okay.
But I do.
Clearly. I wonder how strongly you feel about this situation going on between the U.S. Women's National Hockey Team and USA Hockey. For those not familiar, I hesitate here and I do say it a lot, but I hesitate to say here I'm going to share the article. There's 100 of them with 100 different perspectives, and I would hate to make it seem like we're picking one over the other. Essentially, the U.S. Women's National Hockey Team is asking to...
They're going
to
boycott.
They are boycotting. They've said they're boycotting the Women's World Hockey Championships, which start in, I think, less than a month.
Yeah, no, the end of this month. Within a week or so. In Plymouth.
Yeah, in Michigan. So it's a big deal. They are hosting. And they have been fighting for years to get a little bit of love, right? A little bit of respect from USA Hockey.
Money invested.
Yes. And I hesitate to – the problem that I keep seeing and the problem that I'm having is anyone trying to compare this to the men's national team, and we'll get into that.
And to me, that's apples and oranges.
Well, because that's almost entirely the NHL.
Well, there is no standing
right.
U.S. men's national
right.
team. To me, the gist of this argument and the article that you passed along, and clearly I'd been following it in a wide variety of areas to begin with.
Yeah.
What Puck Daddy in this situation was totally missing for me is a great bare bones structure on.
So this was Jen Neal writing at the Puck Daddy blog, but she is not. Just so we get it all, so it's not Greg Wyshynski, right? But as you said, she's very pro the women here, right? To call a spade a spade.
Okay, but so am I.
Okay. I have a feeling I might not be viewed that way. Part of this will be devil's advocate. Part of this will be, so we'll take those sides.
Okay, and you know what the thing is here? Throw out the Olympic men's team.
Yep.
Who cares?
It's a group of 20 NHLers.
And those guys, and even said it in the Puck Daddy article, right? They're leaving Sochi. They're leaving on chartered and private planes.
Yep.
Gone. Nobody cares. They don't care. Give them their stipend. Give them whatever they are. They're not even staying in the village.
I think they did.
Maybe they did.
Okay.
Maybe they weren't allowed in since the U.S. team in Nagano trashed the place. I have no idea. They may not have let
them
back in.
Security risk.
Right. To me, the direct comparison is to how the U.S. supports their men's under 20.
Yes. Okay.
$3.5 million a year gets soaked into that.
All of which comes from the National Hockey League. The NHL provides USA Hockey with roughly, this year, $9.3 million to do what they see fit with it, but it is used essentially to develop more NHLers to come down the pipe. And say what you want about that, there's very little chance of that coming from girls' hockey. So there is no direct money being... Now, that was $9.3 million. You said they invested three in the...
3.5.
You could do that for the women, right? But the NHL is going to say to you, hey, clearly you need 3.5 less than we're giving you if you're able to. Maybe it'd take balls for the NHL to have that stance, but that $9.3 million that comes from the National Hockey League is meant to be invested in continuing to develop players for their league. And so for people who are unfamiliar...
Canada getting any of that money?
I have no idea. And that was the first thing that ran through my head, too, right? Was apparently we're keeping the Americans afloat, but...
Because I wonder if that's the case, then.
Yeah. What is this, Hockey Canada getting...
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have the answer to that.
Because the numbers, and if you look at the surge in enrollment in the States...
Yeah.
And did you look at... It was interesting to see the numbers of girls and women registered playing hockey in the United States.
Well, it's on the increase.
Okay, but it's up to 75,000.
That's low.
For sure. That's almost, you know, it's eight times less than the men.
Yeah. Well, you wonder if there's 75,000 in Ontario, right? Like,
you know, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. But, well, and really.
And I mean, now you're comparing apples and oranges again, how you do it in Canada and how you do it
right,
in the West.
No, but to me, and women's hockey, I'm sure is, I can't speak to, I haven't looked at the bios of a lot of them, but. They have to be coming exclusively out of, you know, Massachusetts, New York, Michigan, Minnesota,
and...
right? Like right in your hockey hotbeds.
Yeah, and I think you are.
Okay,
seeing,
you know
I saw
what?
An article that I had.
I didn't read that. I've never seen that.
Yeah,
that
and that's one of the other kind of counter argument articles, right? Was it said, what's the NHL going to do when you turn around and give $3.5 million of their money to the women and go, oh, okay, so you don't need that for us, right? Like you don't need that for.
Hmm.
So it becomes a Hockey Canada, I don't know if they're getting their piece of it, but they're doing just fine. The thing that, there's two separate pieces here. One appears to be that the women want to be more like salaried employees of Hockey Canada, or of USA Hockey. I think that's shit.
I don't think that's true, though.
And the second point is, and we can tackle them one at a time, is, as you've pointed out, having an equivalent to the national development team, and that is absolutely valid.
Okay, but then, yeah, see, where does the money come from?
I agree.
If the U.S. Hothouse program that used to be in Ann Arbor that's moved to...
I think it is moved to Plymouth or...
Okay, if that's the case, and they're getting that money directly from the NHL...
Well, that national development team doesn't get it directly from the NHL. USA Hockey gets this much per year, then they turn around and do whatever they're going to do with it. But I have a feeling if they show their hand and start handing that to... Again... going to be unpopular when the NHL says, well, we're not going to pay for that. But that's sort of the bind that they're in at this point. I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to ask for and trying to make that happen. But there is no such thing as an Olympic athlete who's on salary to their sport organization. Well,
see, and to me, I saw that too. And I'm like, no one's saying the point they were making was we don't employ... Right.
Nor should they.
I don't think anybody's asking for that. They're asking for likely something similar to what we have here in Canada in the karting system, right? They're likely looking for in the run up now to be hothoused, right? To be centralized, to do all that sort of stuff, and to not have to do it all on your own dime.
Which is essentially what's happening now. They have to. Most of them have jobs. Then you gotta go skate.
Once they finish university,
yeah.
there is no avenue for you.
Well, unless you come up and play in the – there is a professional women's league here. It's hardly
– Right. It's a nominal salary.
Yes.
Right?
But once you do get
selected, you are asked to centralize essentially on your own dime.
Yes.
And you have to leave the CWHL or whatever it is.
How much of that is kind of the life of a fucking athlete?
Yeah, okay.
As an amateur athlete, okay. You pay to go to the Olympics.
For sure. And so what happens here is, and you look at any number of those who are in the Canadian karting system, right? You will get, as a national level, an SR1 card, a senior international one card, you're going to get $1,500 a month.
So if you do the math, you will still live below the poverty line, but it allows you to...
Right. You know what?
Have a little something.
In a perfect world, if you're on the national volleyball team, if you're a rower, those sorts of things.
Where we still do reasonably well.
Right.
I'm sure the Canadian women's soccer team.
If we can get six of us living in a house.
Yeah.
Right? Get some sponsorship, right? A lot of these people are supported by family, supported by community sponsorship, small business sponsorship, above and beyond that, right? So that $1,500, that's not covering your head taxes for anything. You still need to bust your hump. You are still doing this in the back of your employers. Some of them are still employed, but they have to have super flexibility. There's a pile of things that have to go on. Like that Canadian Tire commercial with Jonathan Taves, you know, that We All Play for Canada thing.
Yeah.
Man, starts out with him and then it goes to his family, his extended family, the community. It just, as you see, the people who support an Olympic athlete, it's crazy. And yeah, you are doing it on your own. And like going to school, a lot of those people, as you said, live below the poverty line, train hard. And that's why traditionally you see, man, late 20s, you're done.
And I think because you need to get a job. You need to have a family.
You can't
right?
do you, this anymore.
Right. Yeah, kind of instead of that, so many people coming out of university horribly in debt, you've come out of your sport horribly in debt, and it's time to get to whatever you got to do, right?
Or your family is in debt. Your parents have continued to do what they need to do for you. Anybody on the national ski team?
Yeah. Well, man, you got to be in Europe all the time.
Val d'Isère today. You know, you are everywhere, all over the place.
Well, so the question becomes, why is it okay? Because the U.S. women's soccer team has also had this... For a long time, they've started to get a little bit more support. I don't know all the details, but word is it's not perfect, but it's better than it was because they fought and fought and fought.
Right.
What does USA women's hockey do that U.S. women's synchronized swimming doesn't do? Why do they deserve to get a little more What about the U.S. women's ski team, right? Yeah. What about the – this is the life of an amateur athlete, and the problem that you're running into is that you keep competing with Hockey Canada, a monster, is your main competition, and your men's team are all millionaires because they play in the National Hockey League. And I'm sure it looks and feels a lot like, what the fuck about us?
Okay.
But – there's a part of this that to me says, yeah, you need to find a way and you need to start getting money into that women's national development team that will match what the men have. There's no other comparison after that. You're an amateur athlete.
And to me, you rule the men out right away, as I said. And to me, if you're going, okay, we've gone out there, and that to me means U.S. hockey, USA hockey, hockey USA, whatever they are. They have not hustled that money. That to me sounds a lot like the NHL's come to them and said, hey, we're more interested in what this does for us.
Yep.
Produce players. Here, take this money and do something with it. Okay, you know what? It behooves, or it then becomes totally up to Hockey USA to then figure out, how do we get money into this, into our women's programs? Because right now, they're doing it on the back of the NCAA.
Yep. Like you said, once you're done university, you're done.
Right. And to me, I'll be interested to see. I hope like hell the women don't go, because USA Hockey is saying we will have a team there.
So that's the last thing I wanted to talk about on this. What the women's team captains and leaders have said, we have the support of the under 20 team and we have the support of the under 16 team, which I didn't know existed.
Can you imagine the under 16 team showing up and getting just smoked by Canada?
Can you imagine the under 16 team, someone calling your 16-year-old daughter and saying, you can be at the World Championships tomorrow, and having to turn that down? These girls are being put in a tough spot, and I'm sure that the wide majority of them are all on the same page, but this might be my shot. Oh. I'm 16. I'm not thinking Amanda Decker, right?
And that's not the 16-year-olds.
No, that's going to be their parents.
That's their parents, and there's a pile of parents out there who don't give a shit about anything else other than, my kid played at the World
Championships. Women's World Championships, and they're going to lose, right? But you wonder how – I'm sure the wide majority are united, and I'm sure they have had these conversations, but that's got to be tough, because they've said they're going to start making calls, right? And let's say one girl's dad does push her through and have her play. If that girl is any good, and in 4 years she's got to sit across the locker room from – someone she essentially scabbed.
Yeah.
Tough spot, man. Real tough. Tough to say no.
Okay, and here's the deal.
And
USA Hockey says to the NHL, you want to fund us. You want to funnel cash in here to protect your future, right? You got to be giving us a little something that we can then appease the women with.
And what if the NHL's answer is, we'll just keep all our money then.
Yeah, well, okay. No.
Because it does them no good, other than goodwill.
All right. But
good publicity.
They've already come to you saying, hey, we know it's in your best interest to continue to do this, or else you wouldn't be here in the first place.
Yep.
Who do you think came to who first and said, hey?
Oh, I have a few. Don't you think it was USA Hockey that went to them first, looking for a little help?
And then what happened?
I'm sure the NHL said, yeah, but this is what you're going to spend it on, and this is – a development team thing, a centralized.
Well,
centralized and they play 60 games. It's a great program.
And they've obviously, the numbers have gone up.
Yeah.
Everything. You look at enrollment in the States and to go with it, they're under 17 team, they're under 18, they're under 20, then success all across the board.
So what happens if you develop a women's national team? Because what happens with the men is it's a 60-game season. They're hothouse together, as you've mentioned. They train together. They practice together like a team that's preparing to go to the World Junior Championships instead of Canada's model where we grab our best players from across the CHL.
Well, do they not play in the USHL?
And so they then, 60 games against USHL, which is the junior league in America. America. And that's what they do. And they train together. And it's their best. It's a great system. What happens if the NHL or whoever, right, injects some money in, says we will pay for a women's equivalent? Who do they go play? You've just sucked all the top players out of the NCAA. It's an interesting.
Yeah,
I wonder if if USA Hockey and the NHL, let's say it came together, the NHL said, we'll give you $500,000 extra what we're normally giving, and USA Hockey pulls $500,000 from somewhere else and throws together $1 million to run a national women's development team.
No, I think they clearly don't have the same option. And I think what happens is, yeah.
Well, that is one of the things they're asking for, though. So they must think they have that option. I wonder if that's enough.
No, well, I don't think they're looking at sucking out all these NCAA players. I think they're still looking at not for a full quadrennial of 4 years, right? I think they're looking at, you know, if you are you're playing for whatever, you know, North Dakota, yeah, you have to maybe take a year off leading up to an Olympics. Maybe that's the deal.
I guess
6 months to a year, I think you're looking at giving up. You give up. You got to give that up.
I just wonder if you came to this group, this leadership group, this women's team, and said, we either due to finance or just desire, we're not going to give you an extra dime to play, but we will fully fund a U.S. women's national development under, maybe it has to be under 24, right, to allow the people coming out of university to still have a place to go, something like that. That shows some interest in the future, shows some interest in development, is a move in the right direction. If that's not enough to get those women to go, yeah, okay, it's something, we'll come play.
Ah, you know what? And again, we've sort of got away from the whole thing.
A little bit, but.
Well, but to me.
It's an interesting discussion.
It is. And there was some new info provided there. I had no idea that money came from.
Yeah.
So, and then again, I have no idea what the funding is like for women's luge in the States.
Right. And that's a thing to me. That's a sticking point.
Okay, well, and I don't know. And I don't know what it is.
Higher profile,
right?
So.
And you talk about them saying, well, you know what? You can win up to $85,000 with a...
You got to win a gold medal.
Okay, but that doesn't come from USA Hockey either. That comes from the Ohio... From the U.S.
USOC.
Right.
Yeah.
So that don't give me that.
No.
Don't show me somebody else's wallet.
Yeah.
Somebody else's
We will
stacks.
Facilitate someone else.
Yeah, this is exactly right. We're going to give you the option to earn somebody else's cash.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. There's just so many moving parts there. I don't think it's wrong for the women to say, we want more funding.
I don't think so either.
Okay. And that's
it's just where you're asking for it, how
okay.
you're, that's
and,
all.
Well,
we just seem to disagree a little on that.
No, we don't. We both agree on the fact that the women need more money.
Yeah, what you're going to do with it is.
Or where it comes from.
Yeah. Those are both going to be crucial.
Well, this is it, though, right? Yeah,
we all need more money.
Well,
where's it going to come from?
No, I know, and you can't. It's hard to say. Yeah, we have all this cash that we're going to throw right into the men's sports.
Yeah,
right. And I get it. But we got nothing for you. And you go, well, then work harder.
Like get more.
Well, because we are 51% of the population. Can you not? Could you not give us something? And I get it, right? It's an interesting situation.
I was listening to, as one final thing on this, Ray Ferraro was talking. He's married, for those of you who don't know, to Cammy Granato, who was maybe the best American women's player
right.
ever.
She's the American Hayley Wickenheiser.
Yeah. And she's got a horribly tumultuous relationship with USA Hockey. She was cut before the 06 games because her coach essentially was a douchebag and she was trying to...
Yeah.
Ray flat out said, I'm biased or whatever, right? But
yeah.
But he said Ben Smith was their coach. Most of the players hated him. She kept standing up for this and that, and they eventually just cut her. So she has nothing to do with their program now.
I don't know anything about being horribly alienated from your sports governing body.
Or society in general.
Yeah, I pick and choose.
Right. And wow, I've totally lost my train of
Ray
thought.
Ray Ferraro,
yeah.
Cammy Granato, yeah. Ben yeah. Smith. The Ben Smith Five?
Wow. What's... The Ben Smith Five.
Anyways, you know what? Let them figure it out. Ray Ferraro, horribly biased. Cammy
yeah,
Granato
just
getting cut.
Gone. It's just
yeah, right.
Gone.
Sorry. And you know what? That's the risk of doing a show with me. Hey, so listen.
And
you got
I was
more?
Just going to say, does anything stand out to you as we get ready to get out of here on the NHL front that... You know, we're kind of, for me, the big thing right now is just.
Are we getting out of here? Are we pulling the pin on the whole show?
Well, not before we talk a little NHL.
Okay.
Did you have something else on that topic?
Nah, you know what? I don't think it's wrong.
Oh, I got my Ray Ferraro point.
Look at that.
Yeah,
see?
It's back. He said that they so little regard for the women that before these last games, they in Sochi, they went to an event to unveil the new USA Hockey jerseys. And they had three or four of the men's players from the NHL, because of course that's high profile.
Ryan Kesler.
Had invited zero of the women's players. He goes, that's bad enough, but you kind of, whatever. And on the jersey is a patch that have the numbers 1960 and 1980 as honoring their former Olympic
gold medals.
The women will also wear this jersey. He goes, could you not have thrown a 1998 on there when they won an Olympic gold? Or are we just going to pretend that that fucking didn't happen? Right?
Yeah. Like, well, see, but that speaks volumes.
For sure it does. That this organization, I'm not saying this organization's in the right. I'm just, they.
In 17 world championships, they have either a gold or a silver.
Yeah. Pretty good.
what? No, great point. Great point. And that just shows a complete and total horrible lack of respect. Yeah.
He goes, the women are going to wear these jerseys too, and you didn't even throw their gold medal year on there.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't wear it.
The men probably don't want to wear 98. That wasn't a good time. So
hey, okay. And so segueing over now, because and it is interesting, and I just think we've exhausted that at this
point. For
sure. Coming back from Montreal on the weekend, right? Killing time. There was a little trivia getting thrown around. Right, NHL trivia. Couple ones I want to hit you with out of the right out of the chute here.
Let me pull up my Google screen.
Yeah,
here.
Okay. Yeah. and honestly, it built itself as very hard NHL trivia.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. And I'm like, I don't know who this is. And the quiz was being given to me by an 8-year old. So,
did you dominate?
I got the average score on this was 5 out of 15.
Oof, that is very hard.
Well, okay. I got 10 out of 15.
Okay.
Which makes me exceptional.
Okay.
Jazz hands.
That's a 66% exceptional.
Yeah, okay. And to me, really, some of them were... but I just got a couple off the top of my head.
Yep.
Right? This NHL team was forced to abandon... It's season only 6 games into the inaugural 1917 NHL season after its arena burned down.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of, I think Seattle had the plague or the Mexican flu or something.
That was, but that's a separate question, but don't get ahead of yourself.
No. Was it Vancouver?
No.
Okay. Then I don't know. I just sit here and guess all fucking day.
Montreal.
Maroons? Love the Maroons.
All right. Wanderers.
Wow. One of their three fucking franchises. Did you get that one?
Yes, I did. Okay. I also got the one that you were talking about, which said the 1919 NHL Stanley Cup Finals were abandoned due to...
The plague or the Spanish flu. Yeah,
a serious outbreak of influenza.
Yeah.
Right? And the 8-year-old I'm doing goes, what's influenza?
Well, some people got a little sick. And
yeah.
They said
there was a Montreal Canadian died.
Got a little sick.
Come on, suck it up. Are you hurt or are you injured, big fella?
They said there was people in the stands with the masks on.
Yeah,
right?
Like you see in Tokyo or in Beijing all the time now.
I'm this committed to my hockey team that I'm here, but risking death.
Well, you know what? I figure if that nowadays, the equivalent of that is the old ladies who show up with their hair still in curlers in the arena, smoking their Colts. That's the same thing.
Nice.
Yeah, look
at
that.
Way to go, Granny.
Yeah, loving it. Okay.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Two more.
Yeah. Because I'm 0 for 2 here. Well, I have sort of.
Over 1.
Yeah.
But you just.
1.5.
You just segued in.
Yeah.
This NHL team was kept out or missed the 83 draft. Okay. And they gave us 4 choices.
Okay.
Montreal Canadiens, Buffalo Sabres, St. Louis Blues, Hartford Whalers. Did not take part in the 1983 draft. And so right away.
Was 83 the Lemieux draft?
No. Okay. That's 84, I believe.
Okay.
And so right away in my head, I'm going, okay, who wasn't in the league? But you're like, yeah, all those teams were in the league at the time.
Yeah.
So somebody missed the draft, but was in the league.
I don't know. St. Louis.
Yes.
All right.
St. Louis Blues.
I have this kind of weird, but I have no idea why.
Ownership problems, right? They had there was issues of in terms of ownership, and the team just missed the draft. That's it.
Seems like bad business.
I did not get that one.
Okay.
I thought, yeah, I'm going to go with Montreal.
Just Frenchman.
Well, just because, honestly, they have the crappy draft history where they're always trying to rig something, and I'm sure at some point they just said, yeah, anyways.
Not going
to
show
and
up.
And then even my second choice would have been Hartford just because.
Because it was weird and it stood out.
It's wonky. Just, like, yeah, brass bonanza. All right. So, and one more. I'll hit you with one more. So, yeah. I didn't get that one.
Okay.
Timu Solani beat this guy's rookie goal scoring record.
Would have been right around the same. I was going to say McGillney because he had a ton and he was right in that.
Would you go as far as to say a shit ton?
A butt ton was introduced.
A buttload.
Yeah. But I don't think it was him. I don't know.
Come on, man. Give me a guess.
Wayne Gretzky.
Well,
okay. It's not a terrible guess.
It's a great guess. But Gretzky was ruled ineligible because he played pro in the IHL with the Indianapolis Racers, right? So,
all right,
not eligible. Yet this guy was Peter Stastny.
He was probably 30 at the time.
This is it, right? Him and Sergei Makarov, right? Yeah. Like won it in 92 or whatever it was. And you're like, how can that guy be rookie of the year? He's 80. You should not be able to be pulling old age security. And this is it. Don't give me that. So anyways, there was a bunch. There was who was the first general manager of the New York Rangers?
Oh, it's something Patrick.
Lester Patrick.
Lester Patrick, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Who holds the record for most 20 or more goal seasons?
Mike Gartner.
Gordie Howe.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Any guesses how many?
20. 30.
Okay, 22.
Oh, my God.
I was like, most guys don't play 15 years.
He's got 22 20-goal seasons.
Well, see, the thing was, because if you look at his stats.
Yeah.
He never ripped it up. I think he won four scoring titles.
Well, we talked about him a little while ago when we talked about Jágr, right, who did have a couple years where he tore it up. But since then, it's just kind of.
But Jágr's had like five or six seasons of sort of above 100.
Plods along and does his thing.
Right, racks up 50-point seasons, right? And that's what Gordie Howe did.
Yeah. No, it's.
Look at Gretzky with his almost whatever it is, 2 points per game or whatever it is, right? Just like insane. So, anyways, there was a bunch of interesting ones like that.
Yeah, right.
So
very hard.
Well, okay,
I just got stumped.
But it said very hard. It was who was the first ever winner of the Selke Trophy?
Something Selke, Frank Selke. And then he got to name it.
Yes, Georges Vezina. No, incorrect. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bob Gainey, man. Come on.
Hit me with your fucking Selke Trophy trivia like it's a big fucking deal. Okay, but guys won't even show up if they're nominated for it.
You got to know these things.
Oh, do I? Turns out I do not know these things.
All right. Anyways.
I say that a lot.
Moving on. So as I've alluded to a couple times in this conversation, Followed the Senators to Montreal this weekend, right? Big home and home, right? First place in the Atlantic Division, riding on the line.
Man. How'd it go?
You know what? And I saw Senators games in their inaugural season.
Oh no!
Right?
Oh no!
And this to me was that bad.
Why? Like, why do you think, not what technically happened, but why do you think in a series that big?
The person I went down with said, is the flu running through our team? That's just what it looked like.
Yeah.
The Habs looked bigger. The Habs looked faster. They were just honest. And at the end of the day, they had Carey Price.
That does help.
Okay, and so this game was plodding along at 2-1 Habs. I'm thinking, we're shit in the bed. Like, actively, there's feces in the bed right now. Yet, it's only 2-1. For the longest time, it stretched out. And I'm thinking, you know what? We're going to score a goal here, snap. That's going to be the sound of the Habs back breaking, right? And sure enough, whoop, I can't even remember who it was. Came in, Hoffman, right?
The Hoff.
This insane move, Carey Price. I don't even know how the human groin, the pads go like that. Price makes an unbelievable stop. And that's the game,
yep.
Right? You know what I mean? It didn't go down.
You kind of get that chance to get back into it.
That makes it 2-2, and you go, yep. The complexion, the sound, yep. Of the building, everything changes.
And no.
And just no. And so then they go 3-1, and it's just – but there was no legs, and it's funny because they lost the night before in Ottawa in a shootout, and Guy Boucher was saying, you know, yeah, we look tentative, right? We look like the pressure of the moment may have, you know, got to us. Well – you know what?
It's funny when you play a team that much and it's a shit division to begin with. And there shouldn't be.
Is it really a shit division, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what? We've talked about this. Hey, and just to finish the point, yep. Habs fans, douchebags.
Just to get that out there.
Like douchebags.
Last time honestly. It was a savage out of nowhere attack of Canucks fans. Just, we weren't even talking about them, but you decided to turn and beat them up a little and then come back to.
Yeah, but. It just yeah. Low rent.
Yeah.
Low weather. Low rent Habs fans.
Every hit's a dirty hit.
Shouting about stupid shit.
Yeah.
About stuff that's not even happening in the game. In your garbage, trash French that you're speaking.
Bastardized
French. Yeah, that people outside of the island area wouldn't understand it. You're garbage.
You're garbage.
Habs fans, you suck.
All right.
So... anyways, and
I'm
just bitter.
This is a subpar fucking division, man. Detroit's bad. Buffalo's bad. We can start down there. Florida looked like they were turning around.
I'm telling you, next year, Buffalo?
No. I was just listening to a guy on the radio, Mike Harrington of the Buffalo something or other.
Okay.
On talking about.
I don't ever quote anybody from the Buffalo anything.
And he's saying that the players have all but revolted and turned on Dan Bylsma, but because. The Pegulas turned and signed him and Rex Ryan within a week of each other to huge contracts to coach their two teams, and they've already fired Ryan. They will not can Bylsma.
Okay, that's garbage.
And not, like, A, for the embarrassment factor, B, for the money factor. And so that's looking like a problem. Is that he doesn't see them playing the style that would better suit their team. Eichel's leading the league in, like, points since he's returned, yeah, right? Like
exactly,
and he's unhappy. He doesn't like the coach. It's apparently it's a mess, and I don't look at that team and see.
Yeah, see, Dan Bylsma can coach a team with Crosby and Malkin on it.
Yeah,
Kunitz and Letang, but what? Okposo, Eichel,
Molson.
They can't handle. They're yeah. not. Unless Bylsma's thinks, holding us back.
Unless he thinks they're
look at them. Me that shit.
I don't see them finishing ahead of anybody but Detroit next year.
Yeah, Detroit's going to be garbage for years.
For sure.
And you know what?
They may have a similar out-of-the-playoff streak that they had.
Harken back to the prediction show where I said, they're garbage, they're not going to make the playoffs. Which at the time, you know what? Was not as trendy as it is right now.
Well, you mean now that they're 20 points out what or is whatever.
It? And you know what? And they're going to be worse next year unless they make some crazy-ass off-season signings.
Yeah. But I think this is a bad division, man. I think Boston is just okay. Toronto is just okay. Tampa right now, for some reason, is just okay.
Well, and you know what the thing is?
They got Johnson and Stamkos.
To me, the thing is, in looking at the NHL standings today, and I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
The beauty of this is the show will be aired.
Tomorrow. You'll be close to.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so the beauty is, as of right now, I think... as of this day, March 20th, 21st, whenever when this show gets aired, I think the West is done. The teams that are in there are in there.
Yep. LA is 5 or 6 back.
And 6 back tonight of St. Louis and Calgary.
Yep.
And I say St. Louis, of St. Louis.
Yeah, that's the only one that matters.
Yeah, they're not getting in. That is, the West to me is done.
Yep.
Those playoff teams, you have Calgary and St. Louis in the wild card positions. There may be some jumping up and
out. They could jockey around.
I don't have the standings now to see where Anaheim is and where...
Anaheim's in third behind Edmonton and the Sharks.
Right, so where those guys are, but...
But I think Anaheim's actually tied with Edmonton, so I mean, that could change 100 times.
And to me, you have, with 11, 10, 11 games to go, You have Tampa is barely alive right now, and you have the Islanders. Those teams are, I'd say we're very close to be. Yeah. And you know, the beauty of this is, and I hate the loser point and all that, but what's happened here is virtually everybody in the league has gone on runs mm-hmm. of varying lengths, 5 games, 6 games, 10 games.
Yeah.
14, 18 games, whatever it is. There's been a bunch. Ottawa just came off of a 6-game win streak. And it's where you are, right? Ottawa was in the playoff position, went on their nice little 6-game run.
Got up to first.
Yeah, well, tied, and then they've fallen back into this nice little comfortable spot.
They'll get second there, looks
right.
like.
A win tonight in regulation against Boston. So when this airs tomorrow night, yeah. if Ottawa beats Boston tonight in regulation, they will finish second.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Or at worst.
Well, so in that,
just a second.
Yeah.
Whereas you look at Tampa, their huge surge, man, they went on a big run. They came from last in the division right to flirting. They were within points of...
There was nights there for a week or so where they were in.
So right there.
Yep.
And then they've fallen back to more of a normal pace. They haven't played Ottawa. Man, they have our... They're like kryptonite. So if you look at that and you go, okay, whereas you look at Toronto, in and out, in yep. and out, they go on a nice little surge.
Yep.
To me, it's where you rest, right, when you make these runs.
Well, so we on 2 shows ago, I think it was, talked about the next 10 Leaf games, and we're through 7 of them, and Toronto has 11 of 14 points.
Solid.
Yeah, and they have beaten – I said they would beat Carolina – No, I said they would lose to Carolina and beat Florida. They flopped those. Other than that, pretty much right on track. Lost in overtime to Chicago, which was huge to grab that one extra point you weren't counting on.
Every night, Saturday night, Ottawa lost to Montreal. I'm thinking, okay, you know what? First place on the line, but let's get the point.
Yep.
The Bettman loser point.
Yeah. And then, so they took 5 out of 6 points in a 3-game stretch against Tampa, Chicago, Boston.
See, and I didn't get
Not
a chance.
Bad.
I didn't get a chance to look. I looked at Ottawa. I looked at Montreal, right? Games remaining.
Yeah.
So Montreal has 10 games left, 9 games left, whatever it is. The only playoff team or the only team in the playoffs right now that they play in that time period, Ottawa, once.
Well, did
Other
I not?
Than that, they have the Wings twice. They got Carolina. They got Buffalo. They got Tampa.
Yeah.
New Jersey. It's just crap.
Yeah. Toronto has, of any team left in the division, the hardest. They're playing a 549 win percentage the rest of the way.
Okay.
Ottawa's playing a 5 right close behind.
Okay, so we have 12 games or 11 games left. 6 are in the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
We play Pittsburgh. We play the Rangers. We play Montreal again.
The point on Toronto, they need to get in and clear because they finished the season on a 3-game road trip of Washington, Columbus, Pittsburgh. You better have wrapped up your business.
Oh, we play Pittsburgh too.
And we talked about teams resting people late. Wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of that if you're the Leafs coming through last weekend.
To me, I think the Leafs are in.
Lose 2 in a row and it just swings back quick now.
I think they're 3 up.
They're
right
3
now.
Up on the Isles and 4 up on Tampa.
Yeah, no,
Looking good.
I think
a nice
little run.
If they go, and 5-3-3 gets you to 94 points, which is too clear what it looks like it's going to take. So that's even allowing for 3 more. You know, loser points and
yeah. Well, so. You know what? It's interesting.
Yep.
But to me, that's it. There are 2 spots in the NHL up for grabs, and really, to me, I think it's
4 teams in that race: Boston, Toronto, Tampa, the Islanders for 2 spots.
Right, and to me, heavy on the Boston, Toronto. I think if you're in at this point, you're just looking
steady.
You're just looking over your shoulder, going. Yep. Hey,
kicking that guy behind you.
This is it. This is it. Mule kick, baby. Mule kick. And that's all it is, right? You're looking to just...
Yep.
And now the onus is on the Islanders. And to me, it's... Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Anybody not in a spot now is really hard.
And I think what I read was 8 of Boston's last 10 are at home. So they look like they're probably going to get it done too. So that's probably good on this one, man.
You got it.
All right. Let's get out of here. We'll
see you.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.